You're a podcast fan. You like Zombie Takeout?
Nah, not really.
Oh. What's up? Welcome to episode 232 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got a little bit of listener submitted. This is from Danny Meeks on Google Plus in reference to last week's episode. He said, "That's a pretty big difference in the brains ratings between you guys this time."
Yes. I'm glad you noticed, Danny.
I checked. It is actually our biggest split to date.
I assumed it would be.
I thought it was equal with Postal, but actually, I checked just before the show tonight. Postal was a 4 and a 1. And there was another one that was a 2 and a 5. I don't recall. Highlander was a 2 and a 5. This is our biggest split so far.
There's two Russell Mulcahy movies.
Yeah. And Postal, Uwe Boll movie.
Uwe Boll movie. Two very divisive directors,
yeah,
if
yeah,
you
yeah.
think about it.
But the Highlander and Postal weren't as big as Extinction, and you hated Postal.
Yeah.
We fought over Postal. we didn't really fight this time. I suspect it was because I just kind of attributed your hatred of the movie to watching the wrong version.
Now, did you watch the wrong version?
I have not had a chance to.
You did not? Okay.
No.
It is probably still on YouTube. Because anybody that tries to watch it falls asleep.
Perhaps during our week off after Mother's Milk, we'll get to watching the one that we haven't watched and reconvene and discuss, just to see if it would have changed anything.
I would probably be just as low on this movie if I'd watched an extended version
yeah,
of this
yeah.
one, too. Maybe even less. Who knows?
There's a Genesis reference that I think fits this movie very well, Genesis the band, but I'll get to that later. A little teaser
wow,
for you.
We're just on this music discussion that we've started recording way later than we should
yeah,
have.
About a half hour late because we got to discussing Rush.
Yeah.
Anyway, on to some news. This is from therap.com. Chris Pratt's Cowboy Ninja Viking to be directed by John Wick filmmakers. John Wick directors David Leitch and Chad Stahelski are in early talks to co-direct Chris Pratt's action movie Cowboy Ninja Viking for Universal Pictures. An individual familiar with the project has told The Wrap. Based on a graphic novel written by A.J. Lieberstein and drawn by Riley Rossmo, the film will star the Guardians of the Galaxy hero as a man who suffers from multiple personality disorder and enters a government program to become a super soldier with the attributes of a cowboy, a ninja, and a Viking.
Can we just have, like, Regis Philbin in the movie, though? I don't get it. Is he a cowboy? Is he a ninja? Or is he a Viking?
This would normally be nowhere near our wheelhouse, but that premise...
How is that nowhere near our wheelhouse?
Kind of puts it... Well, you know, Chris Pratt, major studio, you know, big names involved. The directors, you know, just did a Keanu Reeves movie.
Dude.
So it's very, very mainstream. But when you talk about, you know, a guy with MPD... getting the attributes of a cowboy, a ninja, and a Viking, that squarely puts it right in our wheelhouse. We need to review this one when it becomes available.
Definitely.
All right, so on to this week's movie, which is from 2010, Resident Evil Afterlife, continuing our look at the Resident Evil movies. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Variable Accents. Do you want to make a bland character seem somewhat smarter, more exotic, or generally more interesting without all that pesky writing? Try a variable accent. If it was good enough for Princess Leia, it's good enough for you.
And also brought to you by the Spice Girls. Nah, I won't even try it. the Spice Girls video, Two Become One. Crappy ballad video, changing the face of crappy action movies since 1996.
Hmm.
All right, so we again, we start out with something that looks like we're going to have an awesome movie here. We're in Japan. I'm expecting like a 30-story zombie, you know, wreaking havoc in the city. But no, we pretty much were there to demonstrate that the zombie apocalypse has reached Japan too, or Japan 4, I should say. They're in their secret lair, of course, under Zatoichi Station, although I don't even think they used the name Zatoichi Station
Okay, I didn't
in
notice.
this movie. I didn't see it. In
That's why I
fact,
thought it was from a later movie because of that open the opening of this one.
it did not even look like the same scene, the same lair or whatever, front that they used in the last one. They looked
Probably
very
not.
different. It could have just been one was in the daytime and one was at night. I
Possible.
don't know, but they looked completely different. Rather than have a whole drawn out battle between her and Umbrella Corporation, she just pretty much storms the fortress. They fight.
Send in the clones.
Yes, they. She sends in the clones. She. They shoot the place up. They didn't. They start doing a few Matrixy Spice Girl effects in there, but not too many at this point. They're just getting warmed up, as Al Pacino would say.
Little bit of early trivia. This was the first one of the series shot in 3D. So they, of course, had to hammer that in a lot.
Honestly, the earlier ones should have been in 3D too, especially the one before with the scene with the birds and stuff and the flames. I was even wondering, I would get to points in earlier movies like, was this in 3D originally?
I
And
think the
yeah.
technology was just catching up at this point to the point to the, you know, so that it was cheap enough that they could use it.
It was like they wanted to do it, but they couldn't, you know? But they still shot it in kind of a 3D way. So anyway, they shoot the place up. She gets almost every last motherfucker in the room except for the nemesis in this one, who isn't a nemesis, he's just a dude that wears sunglasses, of course.
He's a what they call him a genie, which is the guys with the monsters with the flowering mouths, as they call them. Their mouths kind of come out in, you know, 4 or 5 points.
Not a man genius.
No. Or something else that sounds a lot like that.
Or was he a coach of the New York Jets, Mangini? Anyway, he wasn't that way in the beginning, though, I don't think.
Well, no, he was part of some he was somewhat dosed when, you know, they square off in the plane. He's, you know, obviously had more T virus since then by the time
Right.
we
They
visit.
wind up having this fight in a plane. She loses her powers because he just happens to have an injector on hand to eliminate the powers from her.
See, they took her
And
powers away in a way that made sense.
yes, they did. They did.
I was telling you
It
they
did make
would.
sense that he had this hypodermic of the shit on him at the time.
Well, he was always he. Well, he's always ready for her to attack.
He's always ready.
Yeah, that's
That
kind
is
of
sort of the
Wesker's
answer.
thing.
He's always ready for everything. They have a plane crash. Despite her losing her powers, she survives the plane crash. They don't say that immediately that whether he survives the plane crash or not, but spoiler alert, he does, because there's way more to this movie left. And he is the nemesis this time around, even though he does not a nemesis. He's the nemesis for this movie, though.
He's the big bad.
Yes. That is Act One. Act Two, she then goes on this search, and
She
of
walks
course, I'm
the
like,
earth.
she roams the earth like Kane from Kung Fu, yes. But she has a plane to do it in. Nothing's explained, of course, how she came across the plane, how she survived the crash, really,
Well, you see her
how
walking
she
through
got.
this kind of
That's.
plain graveyard.
Yeah. And so then. Yeah, she comes stumbles across a plain graveyard where she thought Arcadia should have been, because that's what she's looking for. And
Arcadia being the haven from free of infection referenced in the last film,
right. That's the
where Claire and
yeah.
Eddie
We I
Mark
didn't
went off
mention
to.
that in last week's part impromptu plot summary, did I? Yes, they were advertising Arcadia as a place free of infection, safe. Just they have food somehow; they'll protect you. And Well, she's on the search for her friends from the last movie. It really didn't fit. But anyway, she finds the plane graveyard where she thought Arcadia should be. She finds Claire, who has been hypnotized or drugged
Some kind of a
by
robotic
some
bug on her chest
titty
that's,
spider
yeah. Well played.
that glows red. That
Yeah.
was a title that I was thinking about too for this one that I didn't put in. I thought you'd just shoot it down out of
Yeah,
hand.
but don't worry.
Titty spiders. Anyway,
You got it in there.
so of course she gets her off the titty spider, and she comes back. Her Swiss cheese memory is a good half the film, but then they lose that in the final act. Which brings us to our third act. She then finds some survivors in LA because it's a new movie, you got to go to a new city. And well, she lands, we get a little escape from New York. She lands the plane on top of the building. And although why is a mystery because it only fits two people, she was not going to be able to use this plane to get anyone out going in. I mean, you had to know that. And we have yet another scene where everybody is held up in one building and you have just this mass crowd of zombies surrounding it. And look really hard because that is pretty much all the use the zombies get for this movie.
Yeah, this series isn't really about fighting the zombies. Actually, really, if you think about most zombie fiction, it's not about fighting the zombies, it's about surviving the zombies.
True.
Which is a big thing in this series as well. Plus, they have all these other monsters they want to show off.
I was very amused at the beginning, like the first two, that the zombies were just a prop. But now I'm annoyed. Now it's like they could be doing more with them. I think they've gone, they're just kind of these props that you want to,
Well, they're a
they're
hazard.
yeah. That just kind of get a little lip service. I mean, they storm it. They have one scene where they rush into the shelter. Getting back to the plot summary, so this is going on forever. The zombies pretty much chase them out. They find, of course, there's an arsenal
Of course.
that they get, and
She needs that moment, like in Boondock Saints, when they see the big room full of guns. When they in the chorus of angels, she needs that moment.
yeah, but nobody goes groovy. I mean,
Well, yeah. Well, she said something, but Groovy is, of course, the classic. You can't top that.
yeah. The lines they choose to run at the end of the film are very, like, what was it? I sure know how to treat a lady or whatever like that. It was like, that's not a good line.
Now,
Why
did
would
they
you
do that on the
repeat
other
that?
films? I never noticed.
I think they did something about you're still an asshole in the other
Okay.
one,
All right.
and then I think they. I haven't hung out to the end of all of them. I thought they were going to show more during the credits, but that's another story.
It's just kind of
Why I thought they were
Alice's
going to show
supposedly
more.
badass line,
Yeah, and
which
they're
is,
not that badass.
they're not good movies. I never said they were good.
But
They're not good.
anyway, so our final act, they escape to Arcadia finally,
With a mercifully short walk through the tunnels.
which we are then greeted. We are immersed fully into the Matrix. And I'd say hilarity ensues.
Well, some of those 3D effects were pretty hilarious.
But when they get, I mean,
When he
they
throws
end
the
the movie
sunglasses at the camera.
before. Oh, yeah. They end the movie before the climactic battle, pretty much.
Well, it's a cliffhanger. It ends on a big cliffhanger.
They save the climactic battle for the next movie.
There's some trivia in reference to that.
Which. Wow.
But I'll start off, how basically how it ensues.
Yeah.
The Genesis reference I mentioned. This movie is kind of like Squonk. Alive at both ends, but a little dead in the middle.
Oh, I don't
It
know.
starts with the attack of the clones, and it
Yeah.
ends with the 3D fight Matrix thing, and then the middle is just kind of, it's got its moments. I like the rooftop escape, but
What kind of
the
shitty
middle is
writer do you
overall
have
kind
to
of dead.
be to not be able to come up with an entire movie for her going from America to Japan with an army of clones.
So you wanted to see the trip from America to Japan?
That would be your intro, of course. Her getting out of America, crossing the fucking Pacific somehow with this army, and then having pretty much fighting her way in through Tokyo.
Well, I got the impression they kind of stealthed in, because you don't see them until they drop on the snipers at the beginning, who I initially thought were taken out by a zombie, but of course they were taken out by one of the clones.
Well, yeah, that is kind of the weird thing about this. You're quickly taken out of the zombie apocalypse after they intro it, you know, and talk about there's a zombie apocalypse going on. It's then just humans killing humans again, you know?
Well, so to speak.
Well, yeah. Or you think those are clones, the guards?
Well, no, the clones aren't exactly human.
That's true. The
Alice, until she gets injected, isn't exactly human.
I was wondering if, like, the Umbrella guards were actually clones.
That's
too.
A good possibility.
You never really see their faces.
That's true. And even after she's injected, Alice isn't exactly human, but they get to that.
Yeah.
There is an explanation. It didn't completely take her powers away. It just kind of ramped them down significantly. Also, somehow Wesker turns British in this one. He was very definitely not British in the last one.
Right.
He had a very kind of cheesy American accent in the last one, because I'm pretty sure the actor is British.
They have loved accents in this series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just throwing them in randomly. Not even sure what the point of half of them were. You know, like, you know, Ian Ziering, you know, being the Russian guy.
Yeah. Right. Yuri and Nikolai, right?
Yes.
And then there's another Alice head fake, which, you know, they supposedly kill her, which not so effective when you know about the clones.
Well, right. And they've done it already. So what was the point?
I guess they thought it would work again.
Yeah.
Because it worked on me in the last one. So, and I bought it in the last one, but this one, obviously, the one that gets shot dead and is clearly dead, not getting back up, is a clone.
Yeah.
And then we find out that even though the chopper in Apocalypse couldn't outrun a nuke, Wesker can. Because he's got this big, badass military, you know, VTOL plane.
Yeah.
And it can outrun a nuke somehow. I mean, it hit a little turbulence, but that's it.
Well, yeah, nothing worse than turbulence.
Although I was a bit surprised how cold-blooded Alice was in this one.
How so?
She sends all the clones in to die, and she just hangs out in Wesker's plane.
Oh.
She had to know they were all going to die.
I don't know if she'd followed him in or not. No, she was there the whole time?
I'm guessing. You never see her go in. I'm assuming that she was just waiting for him. Because she knew, you know, as soon as the attack started, that's where he's going.
Hmm.
She seems to outsmart him throughout the movie in certain ways that are a little, well, she is psychic, so I guess it makes sense. And then we get to the dead spot. She's on Wesker's plane, he takes off. He injects her, takes away the power, supposedly. They fly into a cliff face. And
yeah, once they freeze the plane, the action does dry up for a long time.
Yeah, although I did find it interesting, they freeze frame when they hit the cliff face.
Yeah.
And apparently, Wesker's flying backward while she's flying forward. Because Wesker, if you look at him, he's off of his feet and kind of, it looks like he got thrown back.
I mean,
whereas
honestly,
Alice, as you would, kept going forward, even though the plane had stopped.
Considering they're both out and about, there's no way in hell either one of them survived the crash.
Well, you can presume it's because of the T-virus.
But she had it taken away.
Well, not exactly, because she gets a little psychic at the end. It showed that she does still have some powers.
Does she?
In the fight on the ship.
The cruise
fight.
That's pretty funny.
When she touches that tube with the blood in it and she sees what had happened to the person, she's still a little bit psychic. Anyway, back to the...
Oh, yes. I get what you're talking about. I thought she was just putting it together mentally, but I think you're right. She does have a psychic vision of what had happened.
I did see some trivia that said that whatever Wesker injected her with to take her powers away didn't completely work. It reduced them, but it didn't take them away entirely.
Getting out of the trap of the Matrix. Handing some, and Highlander.
Yeah. Now, on to the unfortunate part. She spends a lot of time in a plane talking to a camera. The vlogs got a little annoying.
Oh yeah.
And you know, nothing much to say about that aside from that.
It just didn't make any sense. I mean, they just have this big confrontation, and if they did survive, if they both did survive, why didn't they just fight it out then and there, you know?
Right.
Like, why would they, oh, we crashed. I'll see you around.
Wesker likes to play possum for some reason. And they made it very clear that Alice and Claire were being watched and kind of listened in on a couple of times,
Yes.
making it really obvious who the big bad was going to turn out to be.
Well, yeah. That's why the spoiler thing
Yeah.
doesn't really work here.
No, because you find out very early that,
Because
yeah.
who else is left?
Well, who else is left? But also,
Right.
if they want us to think that they killed him in the crash, they shouldn't have shown that they were being watched without introducing somebody else who could be watching them, you know.
Right.
In the last one, we had Wesker and we had Isaacs. There were two possibilities there. I mean,
Which
Isaacs
was
was the more active of the two, so he ended up being obviously the big bad.
with the whole, Darth Vader communicating with the Emperor and Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, there's another guy out there.
And just a little spoiler for next week, when Wesker's plane explodes at the end in a giant fireball and goes into, 500 directions, he didn't die.
Ah, oh, really?
I shouldn't have said anything. You actually bought it. I figured it was obvious
I
he
was
was going to
hopeful. I
come
didn't
back.
necessarily buy it. I'm about to say,
He's
I'm just.
not the big bad. He's not heavily featured in the film, but he does come back.
Okay, good. Because you know what? The one of the most ridiculous things about this, actually, this and the last movie, I would say, it's excusable in the first two. Why would these people keep wasting so much ammo and body shots?
See, that's why I enjoy these movies. They are ridiculously bad, and people make idiotic decisions. It's funny to me.
I mean, the first couple, okay, they're figuring out these new creatures kind of
Right.
thing,
Yeah.
but they've been fighting them now for years.
But still body shots.
But they're still shooting the body. When they go to kill him, they shoot up his body. It's like, what? Why?
Well, if you're talking about Wesker at the end,
Yes.
he had a gaping hole in his head, and he wasn't moving. I think they were just being certain.
By shooting his body, which would not affect him whatsoever.
Well, but he had a giant hole in his head already.
You shoot that head.
Yeah,
You keep shooting the head.
I guess.
It was kind of the moral of the story with the really tall mystery zombie of this one, which criminally underused in this. I mean,
Axeman is probably my favorite monster in the entire series,
right.
and he gets one fight scene.
One fight scene. That was terrible. I mean, the fight scene was good,
Yeah.
but it was terrible that that was it for him.
And then they tease him for a while before giving him one quick fight scene.
Right. It just, I mean,
And of course, we're on to the prison now.
yeah, they had such great stuff that they set up in this that they could, have so much potential with.
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, we don't really have any ideas, so we're just gonna go on to the next thing. And it's like, no, we
And is it
don't give
just
a
me?
fuck about the survivors. We really don't. Why would anybody care about these survivors?
Well, I actually kind of do like the story of this one. It's got some interesting twists.
I
When
mean,
you find out what Arcadia really is.
the survivors from the last one going into this one are dull as hell.
Well, yeah,
Claire and Kmart are not even real characters.
and I actually found out what the big problem was with the extended version. I actually went through the extended version to get the audio clip at the end.
Oh, yeah?
And I had a few possibilities, so I checked a few different spots in the movie. And it seemed, even though I haven't watched it, that the stuff that was added was the section of the movie without Alice.
What, in the last week's?
They added more stuff with the survivors before Alice came back, in the crow scene.
Yeah.
That's what
Yeah, they
was
did.
extended. So, they kind of took the worst part of the movie and doubled it.
Right.
So you're far more tired of the survivors than I am.
Oh my God, yeah.
I got about half of what you did.
And then these new survivors, they have some that are interesting and some that they even realize they shouldn't have had, like the other dude that just gets shot randomly in this.
There were a couple of red shirts.
Right.
Is it just me, or does Kim Coates always play an asshole?
Yeah, what else? He looks very
He
familiar.
was in
That's
Battlefield Earth. He's done a
okay.
bunch of other stuff. Battlefield Earth is the only film of his that we've reviewed.
He's another guy who was criminally underused in this, I felt.
It was nice to see him come back at the end,
Yeah,
after his
but he
escape.
sh I mean, the thing is, he needed to be more of a villain in the end than just the brief couple
Well,
scenes he had.
but how could he be more of a villain when you've got Wesker? He was the henchman, the lackey,
Well, the
because
answer, of
that kept him
course,
alive for a while.
is, if he had gotten killed in the plane crash.
Well, kill Wesker and
Yeah.
have Bennett be the big bad.
Yeah, if he's infected.
Yeah, he was only slightly infected, I think. Actually, I didn't even know if he was infected so much
No, he
as
wasn't.
Wesker was kind of feeding off of him.
Yeah.
But just a couple more notes about the prison sequence. When did Alice go from dual swords to dual sawed-offs?
Yeah, I noticed that too. Like, what?
Because she starts the movie with these two ninja swords on her back, and then she gets out of the plane, and she's got two sawed-off shotguns, and I don't think they showed any weapons on her back during the wandering the earth section.
So you think it was the Arsenal scene?
Well, no, that was way before the arsenal.
Okay.
That was when she first lands the plane on the prison roof. She gets out of the cockpit and she's got the dual sawed-offs.
Yeah.
And they just kind of came out of nowhere. Also, when they were clearing the roof for the landing, I'm pretty sure I saw the same dumpster from Apocalypse that
Oh, I think you're
Nemesis
right.
shot.
Yeah.
Obviously plastic, supposed to be a heavy metal dumpster. Although Luther was pushing it, so they were playing to the plastic aspect this time, deliberately. But how do they get a tank on the roof of a prison?
Oh, man.
They're looking for a way to escape and gathering all the weapons and the gear and such, and it's a big A-team sequence.
You know, a movie where you can swim through water with guns and then they just shoot. I mean, you really can't poke that many more holes in it than
There
are
were a
there.
few things I just caught. They're doing this whole A-team sequence trying to escape, and they open this big garage door, and there's a tank sitting in this room on the roof of the prison. I'm
You're
just
really looking
wondering
at a
how they got
gap
it there.
in the screen door of the submarine at
Yeah,
that point.
I understand that. Just one other point. Again, during the escape, which was one of my favorite parts, the actual escape from the prison, they need to take this elevator down after, setting Alice up to escape from the roof. And instead of taking the elevator down normally, because the power wasn't working, she throws a detonator on top of the elevator. And it blows. And of course, they already established that the basement was flooded, about 10 feet deep.
So wait a minute, how much time is there between the plane crash into the cliff and the prison escape?
I figure she was probably wandering for a couple of weeks.
No, I'm talking about movie time.
Oh, movie time, actual time. Half hour maybe?
Because I mean, that is all really mostly dead filmers, isn't it?
I really thought it got better when she got to the prison. I mean, it's a lot of
Well,
talking, it's not much action,
well,
but at
true,
least it's
of
interesting.
course.
There's a point to it.
By all means, yes, it did improve when she got, the landing on the top and that. It did improve. But then you had a lot of, we're going to introduce you some characters that are going to be dead in the next few minutes anyway.
Oh yeah.
And then the whole nonsense about having Claire's brother locked up, mistaken for a prisoner anyway.
Well, that's a
Which.
reference to the game. In the game, Claire is looking for her brother. That's the whole thing about her character in the game. She's constantly looking for her brother. And
He was never mentioned in this whole fucking
well, they
movie.
cut that part of the storyline, but that was kind of a nod to the fans of the game, saying she can't find him because he's locked up in this prison.
Oh, man.
Now, there were also some really fun moments in the prison when Bennett escapes. I did like the beheading with the plane,
Oh, yeah.
because he takes off in Alice's plane, of course, because he's the asshole.
Right.
And he dives down, and you think he's going to crash into the zombies, and he manages to pull up just at head length, or head level,
See
and
this red stream going across the
as he's
crowd.
flying right over top of the crowd. That I enjoyed.
Yeah.
And
That was
Alice.
probably the best scene in the whole film, I'm thinking.
One of them. I also liked Alice's escape from the roof. With on the cable.
Okay, yeah.
She ties down this cable, ties it to her vest or whatever it is she's wearing, bustier, runs for the edge of the roof with the zombies following behind her, throws a detonator, jumps off. Detonator blows up the entire roof of the building, except for the pipe that the cable was wrapped around
Of
somehow.
course.
She just stops short enough to land safely and then has to run through a bunch of zombies, shooting them randomly. I enjoyed that.
Kind of was wondering if they were just gonna finally get her, you know? Like just finally.
Well, there are two more movies, you know this.
Of course, you know there's gonna be two more movies, so she can't get caught there.
Although, I mean, if you're watching this when it came out, maybe you wouldn't know that there were two more movies, so it might be a bit suspenseful.
Well, I remember I said last week. They said that last week's was the final chapter.
Well, someone on was it YouTube said that?
I forgot where it
Think it
was.
was YouTube, if I recall
It was
correctly.
from marketing from the time period, though, I think.
Was it marketing?
I think it may have been the
Because
that it was like the final chapter. Because why would anybody say it's the final chapter now?
But from everything I've read, the sequels have all been written before, practically before the movie goes out.
Well, yeah, it's obvious that they were setting stuff up for this one.
Anderson,
Not enough, but they
finishes
were
one
setting
movie and
stuff
starts on
up.
another one.
Yeah. And yeah, that's exactly what they did at the end here.
And I did appreciate the escape through the tunnels. They didn't spend any time on that.
I would have rather seen them busting out in the vehicle and all that. I think that would have been a lot more interesting than tunneling.
Well, but I at least appreciate that they didn't spend any time in the tunnel.
Very true.
Luther and Chris, the two big guys, go first, and they try to send the little Asian guy after them and to put him in the middle. Except the Axeman shows up and cuts him in half.
Yeah.
And then Claire and Alice get delayed fighting the Axeman for about 10 minutes until realizing that they could have just shot him in the head. That fight could have taken 2 seconds. All they had to do was shoot him in the head.
Well, that's the way almost any fight is with the zombies. You just shoot them in the head.
True, true.
But at least Axeman, you had to like really shoot his head, you know? I mean, you had to like
Well, Claire
hit.
got one shot off that looked like it could have been like through his torso, like from the bottom up, while she was sliding between his legs. And then
Right.
Alice just shoots him in the head. I do like the introduction of the coins early on. When
Yeah.
Luther says, "What are those for?" It's a hobby. I had a feeling they were going to turn out to be improvised ammo, but I wasn't sure. You figure she's got shotguns, she can use anything for ammunition.
You know, Mythbusters could do a whole episode on this series, couldn't
I
they?
think they may have done the coin ammo for something else.
Really?
I think they may have. They've done a lot of gun myths. But yeah, there's plenty in these movies that they
I was curious if that would
do something
actually
with.
work. What would act as gunpowder, though?
That's the problem. If you took a shell from a shotgun and filled it with coins, I think that would work. Because
Yes.
it's got the contact point at the end.
Right.
I don't think you could just put the coins in. There's nothing to spark.
Well, right. That's kind of, I was confused by that, how, you know, the coins were acting as ammo.
It's a Resident Evil movie. And having just nitpicked it, that's all I'm going to say. They don't really abide by physics.
That's missing one of the screens on the screen doors. That's like they're missing an entire panel there, though.
And I think that's where we've disagreed over these last two movies. Because we've more or less agreed on the first two.
Yeah.
And actually, you've watched the wrong version of the last one, but the screens are why I like this series. I appreciate all the holes.
I think I would be able to appreciate them more if it was more just action based instead of the attempts at plot development, which
Yeah.
are incredibly clumsy, of course,
Which is
and
also part of the fun for me. It's like The Room. I enjoy it because it's so bad.
then they just kind of waste your time with the, you know, characters that you're not going to get really attached to
Oh,
anyway.
they've done that in every movie.
Yeah.
Alice, I think, is the only Alice is the only character who is in every movie Jill comes back, as you saw at the end. Oliveira's in two movies. LJ's in two movies. Claire, I think, might come back. No, she doesn't come back in the next one. Nor does Chris, as I recall. They're
That's
just,
weird.
they're done. I may be wrong. It's been a while. I don't know about Luther. I think he might come back in the next one. There's this group of mercenaries. I think he might be one of them. I don't recall offhand. But that's every movie. They introduce you to a lot of characters you'll never see again, which is part of the beauty of this movie and part of why they fail so epically is because they do that. You know, they make you care about people you shouldn't care about.
But they don't make you care about them, really.
Not
That's
make
the
you
thing.
care about them, make you care whether they live or die.
They kind of waste your time with them. They don't really flesh them out enough for you to actually care about them,
But you care whether they live or die. I mean,
and then they're dead before you even could care either way, honestly.
well, unless they're a two movie, unless they have a two movie deal like Claire or Oliveira or LJ or one of them.
I felt that way about LJ from the first time they used him, but then the second time around, he was just kind of wasted. And then he had this, last week he had this long infection period, even though the infection rate was supposed to have been sped up in these.
Well, because he's a major character, they can't give him a fast death. They have to hold, they have to stretch it out.
Like he even lasted longer than the soldier did in the movie before.
It seemed that way, at least, yeah.
But anyway, the biggest grievance, though, of course.
The big escape to the tunnels that they spend about, mercifully spend about 10 seconds on. Luther, the hero of that section, gets distracted and goes after some zombies. They make it to Arcadia, which turns out to be a ship. And of course, they find Wesker. And of course, and all these survivors from the previous movie, and they establish that they'd been lured there by Umbrella to experiment on them with the T virus. And there's a big fight with Wesker, and of course, the zombie dogs, which we hadn't seen up until now. And the zombie dogs were actually practical effects in this one. They were not CG.
Even when they split their heads.
They weren't real dogs, but there was actually something there. It was a practical effect. I watched a bloopers reel for the movie, and they showed the practical, head splitting zombies or zombie dogs.
I'm kind of done with the zombie dogs, honestly.
Well, they were kind of underused this time.
But, well, yeah, I mean, there were tokens and stuff, but it was kind of like, okay. They're really just, okay, I'm the bad, big bad guy, you found me. Instead of just having henchmen, I've got these zombie dogs.
I think it was just a nod to the previous movies.
Of course. I mean, that was the other thing, was they get on this boat, and there's absolutely no guards to fight or anything.
No, Wesker was luring them down to, the fight.
In fact, he allows them to go through the lab to release all of the, I don't know if you'd call them subjects or
Yeah,
experiments
the
or people.
survivors from the previous movie had been lured to
Right, he
Arcadia.
allows them to release all of them. He essentially lets them raise an army against himself.
Yeah, because he knows they're just survivors, they have no fighting skill, and Atlas is going to just take them on her own. I don't know if he anticipates Claire and Chris's intervention.
Probably not, no, but still.
He expects Alice to just take him on, head first, like she always does. So he wasn't worried about all the other survivors.
And we get to the most offensive part of the movie, I think.
To me, it's the most hilariously ridiculous. So that's our difference here. I
We've all
love all the
seen The
it's
Matrix.
yes, and all.
It was one thing when they were taking the stuff from the Road Warrior in the last film. Like, okay, we're going to have this convoy of different trucks through the desert kind of thing. It's another thing to take the filming style, I mean, the set almost, the costumes.
Yeah, I can see it.
It was just too much.
I still love the shot of West, the shot where Wesker throws his sunglasses straight at the camera just for the, egregious 3D porn.
Well, yeah.
Which I admit did get a little excessive in this section, way excessive.
I
And
mean, the bullets streaming through the air, he leans back to dodge them, of course, and it's like, yes, we've all seen the movie.
when you give Paul W.S. Anderson access to 3D cameras, he's going to make the most of them and
But he
annoy you with it.
didn't. He just took another film's work and put it up there with his own
Well,
people.
The Matrix wasn't exactly groundbreaking in that sense either.
No, it
Matrix ripped
wasn't.
off a lot of anime.
But really, he took The Matrix and put it in this film. Like, this is definitely the least original of all the movies we've seen in the series.
This
Because.
section, yes. I don't know about the rest of it.
Well,
The
yeah, that's true.
Wesker fight scene, definitely. It was
From what I've
very
seen
much The
so
Matrix.
far, this is probably the least original of the movies. Because, yeah, I mean, they would take, it would be pastiches to other films and stuff. They would, kind of wink and nod to stuff, but then to just take pretty much what was their climactic battle scene, because they cheat us out of the real climactic battle scene.
That's in the next one.
We're left with nothing here. We're left with the Matrix rerun and wandering the earth like Kane from Kung Fu, and the prison scene and the Japan scene.
Aside from wandering the earth, I like the rest of it. Granted, I like the end because it is ridiculously bad and ripping off the Matrix.
But there's no plot to the movie at all. I mean, it's just very cobbled together four very cobbled together episodes that just leave you with nothing in the end. I mean, we have maybe a couple good fights, and then the big fight at the end is just a giant letdown.
And once they fight Wesker, and supposedly kill him, though of course they don't.
Which means we really wasted our time this week.
You see some more VTOL planes coming in, obviously from Umbrella, toward the ship, just when you think it's going to be a happy ending for once. And then you see Jill Valentine with blonde hair for some odd reason,
Yeah.
and a, as you put it, titty spider on,
Yes.
ordering the troops to, basically take Alice alive. Now, bit of trivia about that ending. The intention of Paul W.S. Anderson was that this would be the first film in the series to have an optimistic ending. The producers, however, wanted an intense cliffhanger as the ending. The director added the attack at the end to satisfy them. So it was the producers who did that.
Wow. You'd think he'd made enough movies where he wouldn't need to listen to, suits.
This is actually only the second one that he's directed. He directed the first one, and he directed this one, and he, of course, directs five. He didn't do Apocalypse or Extinction.
But didn't he produce them all?
He produced and wrote them. But
I mean, they're
apparently
really his movies.
he still has to listen to the money.
Yeah. And it's also odd because he's made money. Up until this one, really, I think.
Well, no, this one did well too. They've all
Did
done
it?
very well. Critically, of course, they're hated, but
I thought it just broke even in the box office,
with a
really.
gross of about 300 million worldwide, the film is
Wow.
the not only the, of course, the highest grossing of the Resident Evil series, but also the highest grossing Canadian film.
So IMDb just had the opening week instead for their grossing. Their figures were way off.
This is the highest grossing Canadian film, full stop. Or at
Why is
least it
that?
was when that trivia was written.
Why would that many people gone to have seen this?
They like the series, apparently more people agree with me about the series.
It couldn't have had good word of mouth, though.
If you like the series, this is what you're looking for.
But nothing happened.
But it was fun.
They should have had Seinfeld as their villain at the end. Because it was really a movie about nothing. If He's not even dead. If they the whole point of this movie was to kill him, and he's not even dead,
Well,
then
that's
really
again
we
a
wasted
spoiler.
this whole movie was a waste. Except for the introduction of Luther.
Well, not killing Wesker, I keep wanting to call him Wexler. Not killing Wesker does actually lead to something in the last movie. So it wasn't a waste. But I guess the Wandering the Earth really just brings Claire in for whatever reason, because they wanted to sign Ellie Larder for another movie.
Yeah. Well, would it have been better to have had her out for a movie and then bring her back later?
I guess they already had a plan for five.
Yeah.
I think the prison season sequence is one of those pastiches you were talking about. That was a nod to zombie movies of the past.
Well, the escape through the tunnel and stuff.
That particularly was, yeah. But also the stuck in the prison scene stuff, that was it was the claustrophobic, how do we get out of here thing.
Except it was a giant prison.
Yeah. And you're stuck there with people who, hate each other.
Think how ridiculous that was. This the thing they had Claire's brother in. They had this capsule in the middle of this giant room. Why would this have been in a prison?
Well, he was kind of set up to be like this Hannibal Lecter type. They
Well,
had to keep him
yes.
as far away from other people as possible.
Right. They have these things called solitary confinement, which are just concrete rooms.
Yeah, but remember the cell from Silence of the Lambs? That was a little unnecessary too, but it's iconic. And that's exactly what they were playing on when they introduced Chris with Silence of the
Yeah,
Lambs.
you kind of see them trying to go there, but it was all so pointless.
All right, I'm going to regret this, but on to brains.
On to brains.
I've been debating whether or not I think this is as good as two, because I definitely think it's better than the first one. It's a tough call as I'm stuck between a 4 and a 4.5. Discussing it,
Ridiculousness.
it's because of the ridiculousness that I love this series. I love the fact that they ripped off the Matrix so egregiously. The prison sequence is fun. Even though the wire foo in the clone fight is ridiculous, I still love it because it's ridiculous. It's a little dead, a couple spots. Obviously, the Wandering the Earth section was annoying. But I'm gonna give it a soft 4.5.
Wow. Ah, oh, man. It's better than the last movie, of course.
Okay.
Because they didn't just torture us with just inane characters for like a half hour. But there's only like a couple, and again, there's only a few scenes worth tuning in for this whole movie. Like you can really just watch the opening scene in Japan, and then I think there was the prison break, some of the stuff with the
The
prison.
Axe Man fight.
Yeah, the
I
axe
think
man fight,
if
the getting out of the prison.
not the clone fight.
Well, yeah, the clone fight, the Japan.
Oh, okay, that whole thing. Okay, that whole
Yeah,
sequence. Okay.
so you watch the whole fight in Japan, they crash the plane. You could fast forward till maybe stop to watch or land the plane. The escape from New York thing was kind of nice. And then you can just watch, go through some of the prison, because most of the prison scene was just an absolute waste of time. Then to when they're escaping the prison. And then once they get to the boat, just shut the movie off. For the love of God,
Unless you want to see some
don't
hilariously egregious
do this
3D
to
porn
yourself.
and a complete rip of the Matrix, which I'm admitting, but I have fun with it.
Because it's just too dull to be ridiculous, even, I mean, there's nothing to keep your attention there. So I'm going 1.5.
All right, and what have we learned?
We learned that we should not marathon movies. Because holy fuck, when's this series gonna end?
Just one more.
Thank God.
And I have a feeling Mother's Milk, hopefully it's good, but even if it's not, your rating's probably going to be higher than it should be just because it's not a Resident Evil movie.
I mean, I expected kind of a middle of the road one with this one, and I was kind of like thinking, well, three, maybe you could give it a three and stuff, but I just the more, and as soon as it got into that Matrix thing towards the end, it was just like, okay, 2.5, two. Wait, that's how they're ending it? There's no climactic scene to this movie. It's a movie without a
Yeah,
climax.
true.
Skip it.
Unless you like being ridiculously bad, in which I do.
It's just too boring. for an action movie. This is supposed to be an action movie with things of interest going on. There is nothing of interest here.
And I
I
almost
mean, you're
forgot
seeing a
this is your
fight
one of
scene
our.
that you've seen already.
And I learned that when it's your turn to climb down into the escape tunnel, get in the damn escape tunnel.
Yeah, why would you be like, I think I'm gonna stay up here where the zombies are coming.
Because he was afraid to climb into the dark tunnel.
Right.
All right, so until next week, when we'll be ending our look at the Resident Evil
Mercifully
movies
ending this series.
with Resident Evil Retribution. Now watch, this one you'll absolutely love. This will be the only one you recommend.
I
Maybe the
was
last
close
one.
on the second one, and
Yeah.
I think if the second one were later in the series, I probably would have been a lot higher on it after seeing these last two.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. You also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review, up through, I think, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is like the second week of March. So we're set for a while.
Yeah.
You also find the request form. If you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form. And of course, the recommendations list. Well, maybe the last one will end up there. I'm still hopeful.
These last two should be burned.
Again, I think the problem with three was the extended version.
Maybe. I don't think I would have recommended it anyway, but I think I'd get it better than a one.
We're going up. You were at a 3.5 on the second one. I was maybe hoping it could get bumped that extra half a brain. Anyway, you can also email us zombietakeout@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTL1 or for the alphanumerically challenged 414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you'll always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. And until next time, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
If we could just get a move on, please, before we're all eaten the fuck alive.
You like Zombie Takeout?
No, not really.
Oh. Take that again.